that far into the day. Either way, I'm glad that you have decided to join me either live or later on, whatever the case may be. We have arrived today, number 9, 21 days of growth, and hopefully you're finding some personal growth through this process. Hopefully you're finding some strength and encouragement, whatever you need. Hopefully we've been able to provide at some level. But thank y'all so much for hanging out with us over the past couple of weeks here on mornings at 7 o'clock. I know that's not always the most convenient of times, but I'm thankful that you have joined with me today. Good morning, Barbara Kay. And hopefully the roads are clear back down that way now. Hopefully you're all able to get out and about. And I know it's turned off cold here. That's all I know. It is cold, cold, cold. And got out last night and did some, took care of a few things. And man, I was ready to get back inside. That's for sure. I was over the cold. Today we're going to be looking at passage of scripture beginning in Matthew chapter 18. And we noted at the outset of this week, yesterday, the power of unified prayer, the value of corporate prayer, and the key to sustained and effective prayer is a principle of agreement. The key to effective prayer is the principle of collective prayer. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 18. He said, "And again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." The word agree is a fundamental practice. And it's fundamental to accessing the presence of God. And I noticed here recently, I don't remember, it's been some time ago now, time gets away from you, but I remember reading that phrase, "where two or three." And then in verse 19, it says that if two of you agree. And then in verse 20, he says, "for where two or three have gathered together." So today we're going to talk about that "or" that's there. That's the divine variable. It's a variable. And I'm sure there may be some other ones in there, but I have yet to find another variable in Scripture. There's a lot of absolutes, and there are a lot of explicit items in Scripture, explicitly states, "thou shalt not kill." There are a lot of implicit items in throughout Scripture, things such as "love thy neighbor as thyself." You have to decide what that love is going to look like, right? So that's an implicit thing. So there's a lot of black and white when it comes to Scripture, you know, as far as wrong and right and holy and unholy and righteous and unrighteous. But when Jesus speaks here, he starts out and he says, "if two of you will agree." And then the next verse, very next phrase, the very next sentence that he starts, he says, "for where two or three of you are gathered together in my name." So there is this variable. So it doesn't have to be two, and it doesn't have to be three. It doesn't have to be 200. It doesn't have to be 7. Doesn't have to be 120. Doesn't have to be 500. He just said, "where two or three are gathered together in my name." So it's the principle of agreement that he's trying to drive home. It's the point of you need to agree one with another. It was Paul that said, until you come together in the unity of the faith. It was Solomon in Ecclesiastes that said, for two are better than one. When we pray with people who care for us, we invite the presence of God into our midst. We had a tremendous service Sunday, and a couple of weeks ago, I think it was the last Sunday of 2024, just spent some time in the altars, and I had everyone together around at the front at the end of service, and I said, look, I want you to look around and see the faces of the people that have been here, that were here with you last year, that are still here with you today. And as everyone began to look around, the statement just was in my mind to say, and I did, was, these are the people whom you love and trust, because they're the ones that are around. So those that are there with me, I know that I love them. I know that I can trust them. And so now then, as with people that care for me and with people around me that love me, as I begin to connect with them in prayer, there's a level of the presence of God that is available to us because of this one principle of agreement. Because togetherness is fundamental in our walk with God. Matter of fact, take a look at what Jesus said in the New Testament. For without me, you can do nothing. But with me, you can do anything. Right? So that indicates that I am with him, that I am connecting with him, that I am in agreement with him. All of nature is intertwined. Everything around us is intertwined. At creation, we see three spaces or context for living things. There's sky, there's the sea, and there's the land. In each area, there is a level of togetherness. Think about it. The fowl of the air, what do? They migrate over my house on a regular basis. Come wintertime, will be geese flying south. They may be headed down to wind. I don't know. They might make it there. I know they come through there a lot. You know, look at the fish. What do fish do in the they what we call it a school of fish? As they traverse the depths of the ocean or the lake, they are in a school. They join together. One of the reasons why in ocean life, they say that a school of fish will join together so that they don't look like a small target, and that they don't look like easy prey, because once they all join together from a distance, they look like a large, you know, creature swimming through the water. And so it's a defense mechanism. Together is a defense mechanism. Look at the fowls, you know, the geese as they migrate. They migrate in a pattern and in a form where that one that's out in front, all joking aside, he's the windbreak, right? He's the one leading the way. And for those of you, my family, that would happen to remember, yeah, there is a good joke about that. But anyway, there's the one that is out in front. He is leading the way, and he is serving as the one who is driving the wind and the air to the, you know, to his left and to his right. And then as those geese fly behind him, they form those lines. And so it just creates a little bit of a draft that then comes back in behind inside that V and helps to push them, so they're not having to fly as hard. So it is a level of strength that comes with that togetherness. And eventually, that one that's out front, that bird that is out in front, eventually you'll watch him. If you see him long enough, if you watch him long enough, you'll see the one that's out in front. He'll slip back, and he'll just slide all the way to the back of the line. And then the one that was next to him just slides up and takes the front. Why? Because the one that's been out in front, he's been doing the work. And so now he's going to take a break, and there's going to be another one that's going to join in with him, and he's going to help do the work. The moral of the story is simple. When we work together, we can go farther faster. When we pray together, we can move farther faster. But we have to also understand that, yes, while there are people that are leading us, sometimes they may need to take a break. Sometimes you may need to say, hey, let me help you here with this. Let me help you pray about this. I said it, you know, when I think it was Sunday, maybe said, send somebody a text, or maybe it was Saturday. I don't remember now. Days are running together. Send someone a text and say, hey, how can I pray with you today? What can I pray about with you today? Because praying together is a sure way and a biblical way of inviting and bringing the presence of God into our lives. And so this harmonious motion that we see in creation serves as a primary purpose of survival. It serves as a primary purpose of strength. It serves as a way for them to assist one another and bring strength and be able to add value to the actions. So when I join in prayer with you, what we're really doing is we are bringing value and we're bringing strength to someone else's action. Why? Because two are better than one. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. noted that we are inclined to chaos or community. He argued that for togetherness from his Birmingham jail cell when he said, in a real sense, all life is interrelated. All men are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. I think that says a lot. That says a lot, that we are all connected in a network of mutuality. I like that phrase. We have something in common. You've heard the phrase mutual friends, or the feelings are mutual. We have something in common, that we were all created with a longing for our Creator, with a desire to know Him and a desire to be close to Him. But doing things alone, while yes, the secret place that we've talked about is important, we are still stronger together. It's the word synergy. That's the concept. What it says is that the total can exceed the sum of its individual parts. Or the biblical reference would be that of Leviticus chapter 26. What does that say? One puts 1,000 to flight, then two can chase 10,000. So over and over again, we find that Scripture is compelling us and the Spirit is calling us to a place of corporate and community prayer. But oftentimes we shy away from it. I think we shy away from it because we're afraid that if I go to this level of transparency, that you're going to see my faults and my failures. I think we shy away from bearing one another's burdens or even asking anyone to help us bear our burdens, because we don't want anyone to see our faults and our failures. But can I tell you today that solitude can prove to be dangerous? Trying to go it alone can be rather dangerous. I think it's good to emphasize when we discuss prayer that we cannot afford to stay alone. All too often, people devote themselves to prayer and they begin a habit of withdrawal from other people. And they remove themselves because, well, if I'm going to have to pray a prayer of repentance, I don't want to have to ask the Lord to forgive me for losing my temper when I was in the traffic at the stoplight today, and that guy that cut me off, and I told him he was number one. with the second finger. Right? I don't want to have to ask forgiveness, you know, in front of people and them hear me say, God, would you forgive me for using that language? God, would you forgive me for going to that website? God, would you? We don't want people to hear us say those things. And so we've learned that we can, okay, I'm supposed to have a secret place, so that's where I'm going to do these things. And that's, the secret place is needed. The secret place is warranted. But there are seasons of such solitude, but it cannot become your constant, your way of life, and your only connection. We are the body of Christ, and we must have interaction with each other. Last night, my wife and I were out taking care of a few things, and we had stopped to eat some soup, and Anna Claire was with us, and we were sitting there, and she says, so, would you rather, it's one of her favorite things to ponder at the dinner table, the would you rather. She said, would you rather, yes, and it was after sundown, in case anybody was asking, it was almost 8 o'clock. Would you rather be stranded on an island and have everything you need alone for 7 years? Or would you rather be stranded on a boat with all of your family and have everything you need for 17 years? I was like, that's a no-brainer with my family for 17 years. And if there's some of them we don't like, if we're stranded on a boat, can we throw them overboard? That's all. No, I'm kidding. I promise. The logic for me was this, and my answer was this. While being alone is enjoyable at times, I don't always have to people. And I don't always people well. Okay, let's just be honest about it. We don't always people well. And I'm not always up for peopling, as it were. But there's scientific proof that human interaction, or a lack thereof, contributes to insanity or to mental health issues. And so not only does Scripture tell us that we shouldn't always isolate and be alone, but even science and studies themselves would also verify that biblical fact by saying that if a person spends too much time alone, their mental health is in jeopardy. In a broader sense, loneliness is a modern-day American curse. Countless of these studies have shown that the 21st century is shaping up to be the loneliest yet. Why? Because we've learned and we've decided and we want to just simply hide away, and then loneliness begins to set in. America has been known for its rugged individualism. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. American churches exalted solitary prophets and personal experiences and individual accomplishments. We grew up singing a lot of these me-centered songs in our churches. And this me first or me alone mindset erodes the fabric of fellowship. I'm going to use it because we use it all the time at church. Ladies and gentlemen, the only fellowship is the only way to keep the fella in the ship. That's it. That's why you have to have the body of Christ, because it's the only way that you are going to maintain any sense of stability, any sense of forward progression, any sense of success. Jesus himself said it, where two or three. He didn't say where one of you. He said, if any two of you, and if two or three of you. This divine variable says that in order for me to reach the pinnacle, in order for me to reach the levels and the heights that God desires for me, I must depend on the community and the body of believers that he has placed me in. In Scripture, there's an interesting contrast between the lives of the ministries of two prophets, Elijah and Elisha. Elijah cut a solitary figure, even though there were thousands more who shared his faith. He lived mostly in the wilderness, separated and isolated. Elijah reminds me of a lot of people in today's world. They live with a 10-word mantra: if it is to be, it's up to me. Right? But to contrast Elijah was Elisha. The latter surrounded himself with others. He worked with the school of prophets. His influence reached many future generations. Why? Because he understood, he saw that there was a value in having people around you. How can you influence if there is no one to witness the goodness of God in your life? How can you have an impact? How can you influence the world around you if there's no one close by you to witness the goodness of God within you? Agreement is the key. Being connected one to another is the key. When Jesus came, he came in the mode of Elisha. He surrounded himself with his disciples. And here's an interesting thought for you to dwell on today. Jesus started out with a multitude of people, right? He's teaching, and there's thousands that gather around on the hillside. There are thousands of people that gather around on the hills, and they're following him. And he, in his mind, he knew that he had a destination. He had a destiny. He was going to make his way to that hill of sorrow and that old rugged cross. That was his destiny. That was what he knew that he had to do. And so every step that he took in his ministry here on earth was one that was leading him to that destiny. And he starts out on these hillsides, on these Judean hillsides, and all of these people gathered around him, and they're watching him, and they're listening to him. And then the next day, he's drawing closer and closer to Calvary. And I want you to note with me that the closer he got to Calvary, the smaller the crowd became. Oh yeah, the ground at the foot of the cross is level, but it's definitely not always crowded. Because the closer you get to Calvary, the more commitment it requires. The closer you get to the Lord, the more commitment and faithfulness it is going to require. So when you find yourself alone, it very well could be that just it's because others didn't want to go that far. So find others that do. Connect with others that are of like precious faith. So the closer he got to Calvary, the smaller the group became. He goes from the multitude, he goes down to the 12, and then the 12 goes down to the 4, right? And the only 4 that were there in the garden, in the tomb. You know, so my point is this. As noted earlier, the phrase "one another" is common in the New Testament. 5 times in John chapter 13 and 15, Jesus responds or repeats, "Love one another." Paul took this phrase to another level, repeating it just often, so much nearly that it seems to be his own. But a few instances are in Romans 12 and 10. He says, "Honor one another." Colossians 3 and 13, he says, "Forgive one another." Ephesians 5 and 21, he says, submit to one another. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11, he says, to encourage one another. James used this phrase as well. He said, confess your sins to one another. I might just add here that transparency in prayer is great. Transparency in prayer brings a level of freedom that you otherwise wouldn't have gained. Could it be this simple, though? That praying together is good medicine. James said that when we pray for one another, we can find healing. But could it really be this simple? That many wounds and hurts in life, and you're telling me that I could find healing and comfort and strength when I agree with someone and we pray together? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Well, let me rephrase that. That is exactly what Scripture is saying. We do life together. We worship together. We pray together. Through agreement in prayer, we see the heavens unlocked in the upper room. There were 120 of them. What does the Bible say? That they were all in one place, in one mind, and in one accord. So I ask us this morning, are we in agreement with each other? Who have you connected with lately? Who do you have in your text messages that you can connect with on a regular basis and say, hey, I need you to help me pray about this? We need each other. Reminded of the song, you're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand, and together we will work until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side, and as long as there is love, we will stand. David would write in the 133rd Psalm, he says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I believe it was the Old Testament minor prophet Amos that would make the statement when he would say, can two walk together lest they agree? How can it be that you and I would settle to walk alone in solitude and in solitary confinement, if you will, when God has given us a group of people and a body of believers to do life with? We need each other. In agreement, God commands his presence and his blessings to come to those that agree together. When joined together, he says, if two or three of you are gathered together in my name. It's just a simple principle of being together, the divine variable. And matter of fact, the scripture would say it like this. Scripture says that, why don't you bear ye one another's burdens? Bear you one another's burdens. I want to encourage somebody today that you make sure that you're in agreement with someone. We need someone to help us pray. We need someone to help us carry our burdens because we oftentimes can't carry them alone. That we can bear. And so I want to encourage you today to help someone bear their burdens along the way. We need someone with whom to pray. We need a person that we can feel at home with sharing our struggles and our weaknesses with. We need each other. So I want to encourage you, reach out today, find someone, pray with someone, and let them know that they're not alone. And I want to pray with you this morning before we leave and go our separate ways and ask God to keep his hand upon us. Lord, I love you today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for all that you've given us, and that you've given us a community of believers that we can join together with, and we can bear each other's burdens. We can assist in their life. We can assist in their struggles. And when someone says, I'm struggling, let there be someone around me that would say, I'm here to bring you strength. And I pray, God, you go with us today. Keep your hand upon us as we go our separate ways. Let our lives bring you glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Anything and everything, all things are possible through the element of agreement. So, guys, I hope y'all have a great day. I want you to go. I want you to enjoy the day and go in the fear and the favor of the Lord. I love y'all. Be humble. Be kind. We love y'all. We will see you right back here tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. for day 10, 21 days of growth. God bless you. I love you. Have a great day today.